Good morning, Pittsburgh. A very happy Friday morning to you. You found the Cook and Joe Show here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, and I surely am glad that you did. I'm Ron Cook. My partner Joe Starkey has today off. He'll be back Monday morning at 10. I can only imagine the energy he's going to have. He always has a ton of energy anyway, but after being off for a week, it's 6 days, actually. He started last Friday. He's going to be out of control. So look forward to that. Really looking forward to the next 4 hours. We got a lot of ground to cover. Going to talk some Steelers, going to talk some Penguins, going to talk some NFL at large, going to talk some Major League Baseball, going to talk to Rob King of AT&T Sportsnet at 1 o'clock. We haven't talked to Rob in quite a while, and a lot of ground to cover with him. So we got a good show planned for you, and really glad that you're going to be here sharing some of your Friday morning and hopefully afternoon with me. As always, let's start with our top eight stories. We'll give you a preview, a little bit of some of the stuff we're going to be talking about as we proceed. Number eight, the big story in the NFL coming yesterday with the release of the Washington Post story on the Washington Redskins, the organization, I should say the Washington Football Club. I guess out of habit I still say that. Shame on me for that. It's a horrible expression to use. 15 women tell the Washington Post about sexual harassment all over the team. Daniel Snyder, the owner, not officially named, but people in his inner circle, a couple guys, two personnel guys, have been fired. One of them was Richard Mann, the second. I believe he's the son of the former Steelers wide receivers coach of the same name. Richard Mann, the first, grew up in Aliquippa. So even a little bit of a local tie there, but it's pretty ugly down there. And some of the stuff that is coming out is pretty amazing, too, these women, the culture there that Snyder oversaw and at least tolerated is pretty remarkable. So this is going to be an ongoing story, and we will definitely be talking about this a little bit more. That's for sure. Number seven, also an NFL story. A little more details are coming out about what the negotiations are ongoing as the teams try to get back for training camp. Obviously, we've talked a lot about testing, how often, the exhibition games. Are there going to be none? Are there going to be two? We've talked about opt-out payments. If a guy wants to opt out with a pre-existing condition, can he do that? Can he still get paid? That has to be worked out. And now Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network is reporting that there's a hang-up because the NFL wants to deal with this pandemic economically this season and next season. They want each team to slash $40 million, and whatever shortfall after this year, they want a reduction in benefits and salary cap next season. The players are saying, no, 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 no. We want this spread out over 9 cap years. Why do all the damage right now? Let's spread it out, make it less painful for everybody. So that is something to continue to look for as they negotiate. Cam Hayward has spoken out on this. J.J. Watt has spoken out on this. A lot of people, players, are starting to sound off about it. They still have an awful lot of work to do before they can get to camp, and that's coming up next week, really, basically 10 days away. Number six, more disappointing news, disappointing news, I would say, from the NCAA in terms of college football. Coming back. Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, yesterday quoted as saying, "Today, sadly, the data point in the wrong direction," meaning to get the college football season started on time. If there's to be college sports in the fall, we need to get a much better handle on the pandemic. That Mark Emmert, the NCAA president. Never good when you hear that. Now, you got to understand, the NCAA doesn't run college football. really the conferences run college football. But this is somebody that's been involved with it and obviously theoretically has a say in what is going to go on. Emmert speaking out, it is not good. Again, it's going to come down to the conferences. More than that, it's going to come down to the state and local politicians, the local government officials to determine if there's going to be college football this fall. Number five, what are the odds of this? Seriously. Yesterday I told you about Tyler Glasnow, former Pirate pitcher, went to Tampa testing positive for COVID. Just rejoined the team yesterday after missing 11 days of training camp two, spring training 2.0. He's back. He's pitched yesterday in a sim game, did very well according to all the reports. So I get up this morning and I see late last night the Rays announced that Austin Meadows has tested positive for COVID-19. He's on the injured list now. He also went to the Rays in the trade for Chris Archer. What are the odds of that? Of the two Pirates players that were sent in the Archer trade to Tampa, both would come down with COVID-19. It's amazing. I can't even – the odds of that happening are just amazing to me. All right, number four. I've got a couple more baseball notes here. Number four, crowd noise is going to be used at MLB games. I'm assuming at the Pirates game tomorrow night, the exhibition game against Cleveland. Really looking forward to a real live baseball game tomorrow. But anyhow, crowd noise is going to be used. Apparently, stadium sound engineers are going to have 75 different effects and reactions from Major League Baseball, the show. And the sound is going to be able to match what is happening. So if a Pirate hits a home run tomorrow night against Cleveland, you're going to be able to hear this fake crowd noise cheering, even though there aren't going to be any people at PNC Park. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes. Tampa used this, the Rays, speaking of the Rays, they used this in an inter-squad game yesterday to pretty favorable reviews. Kevin Kiermaier quoted as saying, "I liked it. It's a lot better than just silence throughout the ballpark. It was fun. I hope they continue to do it." So give it a chance. We'll see. We'll see. Number three, A-Rod has caused quite a stir. You know, he's broadcasting games with ESPN. He's also part of a group trying to buy the New York Mets. He certainly can contribute enough money to it after what he made in his career. But he did an interview apparently yesterday where he said baseball players should accept the type of revenue sharing that is tied to a salary cap. Well, you know what the union did. They went crazy. You know, who is he to say this? He made his money by being one of us and all that kind of stuff. They went crazy. A-Rod immediately backpedals to a degree and says, "I never used the word salary cap." He said, "All I did was try to point out that the NFL and NBA have changed the grant landscape. They have their salary cap. Digital media factors into this." And A-Rod is saying that the players need to work with the owners to raise baseball's market share. And that's what he's saying again today. He said, "We want to be as big as the NFL and the NBA. Well, the players don't want to hear any kind of revenue sharing that's tied to a salary cap. I can tell you, I still don't know that it's going to happen in our lifetime, in my lifetime for sure, maybe somewhere down the road. You know, if enough owners are losing money and they'll shut the game down trying to get it. That's what happened, you know, with the NHL. So many owners were losing money. It made sense for them to shut the game down rather than to continue down the path of financial disaster. So they shut it down and got a salary cap. I don't know that's going to happen in baseball because there is so much money at stake. Teams are making so much money. All right, number two, Zion Williamson, probably the hottest name other than LeBron in the NBA of the New Orleans Pelicans, has had to leave the NBA bubble, I guess, yesterday because of what the team is describing as, quote, an urgent family medical matter. No word on what that might be, but Zion leaves the bubble. When he comes back, depending on how long he's gone, He has to be quarantined for a minimum of 4 days, has to be negative when he does the testing. And if he's gone longer than 4 days, longer than a week, he's going to have to sit out longer. So that's something to watch as the NBA hopes to restart at the end of the month in a bubble in Orlando. We're going to do so at least in the beginning right now without Zion Williamson. And number one, this one made it would make me laugh if it wasn't so damn expected and typical, I would say. I see that, you know, the NHL was going to the bubbles in Toronto and Edmonton. Well, last night there was a storm in Edmonton and did some damage to, are you ready? Rogers Place, the arena in Edmonton that's going to be used for the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's also supposed to hold the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals. Now, officials are quick to say, yeah, we had damage. We should be good to go for when the teams get here to the hub on July 26th. But the place the NHL picks as one of its hubs, the arena gets hit by a storm and there's damage. Is that 2020? Is that so 2020 or what? That just makes me smile, if it wouldn't make me almost want to cry. All right, we are just getting started. We're going to get into some NFL talk here. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette due to join me at 11 o'clock to get his impressions, on Myles Garrett's contract, on what the chances are of the Steelers getting to training camp on time. We'll talk to a lot of NFL topics with Ray, but I want to talk about this issue. The players speaking out on we got to feel safe. And I also want to talk about Daniel Snyder a little bit and can he survive this as an NFL owner. This story is pretty damning. We'll talk about that next. I'm Ron Cook without Joe Starkey. It's Cook and Joe on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.